of grace and responsibility is a major scriptural theme. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 1
and verse 6,
the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, to a servant of God,
stir up the gift of God that is within you.
The Revised Standard Version has rekindle the gift of God that is within you.
Now notice, a gift of God was given to Timothy, but it seems that he had let it die down. And the Apostle Paul is saying to him, rekindle it. You see, the gift of God does not automatically do a job. You have got to do something with the gift of God. It's so important to understand this. God may have given you a gift, but if you don't use it, remember the Lord's teaching, you will lose it. The same thing is true of salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. But the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, work out your salvation and work it out. Fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? If there is no danger of it being lost, why fear and tremble? Because it is God who is at work. You see, salvation is God's gift, but we have to work it out. We preach one part of the truth today in the churches, we don't preach the other part. This could not be put more clearly than the Apostle Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. That we as Christians are to be good stewards of God's varied grace. Now notice, grace is a free gift to you, but you got to be a good steward. What does a steward do? A steward is somebody who looks after something, who takes care of something, who manages something. Grace is given to us, not just so we can stick it in our pocket and say, oh, that's it, that's the end of the matter. Well, no, grace is given to you so that you do something with it. And if you don't do something with it, there are two parables to remind you of that in the Lord's teaching. Parable of the pounds in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the parable of pounds in Luke 19. Each warning that if you do not use that free gift of grace, it will be taken away from you. These are the same words here in this passage. To him that has, will more be given. To him that has not, like that servant in the talents, parable of the talents. He used the talents and more was given to him. The other person didn't use it and he lost even what he had. Is it not the meaning very plain? Is there anything difficult to understand? Is this a matter of complicated interpretation? To the mind that is open to the light of God, who does not want to twist the truth around, language is very plain to understand. There require no gimmicks, no logical acrobatics. It's all there, very plain to understand. God's grace is given to us, the Apostle Peter says, that we may be stewards of it. Now, this is all very easy to understand. Think of it, even on the physical life, this is true. Very true. Did you ask for the life you have now? Did you ask to be born into this world? The life that you have now, that you are able to live today, that you are able to study, that you are able to look at the sunshine, enjoy the flowers. Did you earn that life? That life was given to you as a gift. I have this life in me as a gift. But doesn't mean that because I have this gift of life in me that I will automatically be all right. Of course not. The life that I have given to me as a gift, I have to do something with it. Now you understand this perfectly well. That is why you study. That is why you jog to keep your body in shape. That is why you work with your mind to improve the quality of your mind. That is why you learn to worship to improve your quality of your spiritual life. You know that even though the life is given to you as a gift, that's not up to you to sit back. You know that if you do not cultivate this life, you will decline physically, you will decline mentally, you'll decline spiritually. Life is something that will either grow or it'll die. It's up to you to be a steward of it, to manage it. In fact, the word steward is precisely the word that is being used in the parable of the pounds and the talents. Is it not perfectly easy to understand? Life is not automatically developing. Life either grows or it dies. It declines or it waxes from strength to strength. Perfectly easy to understand. The same is true. If God gives to you his own life, which is called eternal life because it's God's quality of life. Now remember one thing, the physical life we had also comes from God. So does the spiritual life. When you read in Genesis, it was God who breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. We have physical life as a gift from God, and we are stewards of the physical life. We have the spiritual life as a gift from God too. If you understand the one, do you not understand the other? The spiritual life does not automatically develop. It will decline if it is not looked after, if it is not cultivated. That is why Paul says, strive after holiness. The spiritual life does not automatically arrive. You have to strive for it. That is why Paul himself uses the picture of cultivation. He speaks of his having sown a seed and Apollos waters. God gives the increase. But there has to be watering and there has to be sowing of seed. There'd be nothing to give an increase to if there is no sowing and no watering. There wouldn't even be a plant for God to give an increase to. This is not plain to us. But now, once we understand the principle of this, then understand this most important spiritual principle. You are responsible for the spiritual life, that life of God, the eternal life that God has given to you, and I am responsible for the life that God has given to me. What I will do with it, I got to answer to God. And since God has given to me that, He can also take it away. Remember that. What He gives, He can take. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. What makes you think that what He gives, He cannot take if you prove unfaithful? That's another strange piece of logic that I don't understand, that some people imagine. That what God gives, He can't take again. The Lord has given, and the Lord can take, as free as that. He gave the pounds and the talents to these stewards, and He also took the one from the one that was unfaithful. Be careful how you live. He says, take heed how you hear. Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. But once we see this side of the matter, we also see the other side of the matter. Because these truths are all interconnected. If you neglect the one, you will neglect the other. Once you see that life is given to you as a trust, you will also see that unless you keep using it, it will decline. Now this principle is very easy to understand. We understand it in the physical world. Let's understand it also in the spiritual world. If I have good health, what happens? I exercise some more, I have even better health. If I exercise some more, it even gets better. If I have some strength and I use that strength, I get even stronger. If I have a little bit of strength, I can lift 1 pound weight, and I lift that 1 pound weight. After a while, I find I can lift 10 pounds weight, so I keep lifting the 10 pounds weight. You find what happens? After a while, you can lift 100 pounds weight. And if you keep practicing, you'll be lifting 200 pounds, 300 pounds. But can you go straight and lift 300 pounds? No, you can't even get it off the ground. You'll be struggling, the tongue hanging out, and you can't lift it off the ground. No, you can't. But you start with 1 pound. Right? And you go on to 10 pounds. And after a while, you go into 100 pounds. And one of these days, you find, 300 pounds can be done. The same way. To him that has, will more be given. The more you use it, the more you got. The more you use it, the more you got. The more you use the talent that God has given to you, the more you will have. The same thing with the intellect. Is it not true in the world as well? So easy to understand. You try solving a mathematical problem. Oh, at first you struggle, you bungle. Okay. Notice a child, he can hardly add 3 and 5 together. 3 and 5, 1, 2, 3, 4. You sit there waiting for him to add up. 1, 2, 3, 4. 9. You say, no, not 9. Start again. 1, 2, 3, 7. No, not 7. You say, how this person... But this same person, when he was a child, could not put 5 and 3 together, becomes a mathematical genius. One day he can solve complicated problems. With square roots and you name it, the whole thing. He knows how to handle it all. That same child who couldn't add, you think of it. I'm sure that you see people like Eric here, and Joe, these mathematicians here. I think sure he can recollect the day when his mother asked him how much is 5 and 3, and he says 8. No, 7. No, 9. This is all guesswork. Sometimes I ask Yiling how much is there, and sometimes she gets the number by sheer guesswork. Other times it's all wrong. But then as time goes on, look at this, they can solve mathematical problems. How? Because to him that keeps using it, it improves. This is a law in every area. It's true in finance, it's true in everything you like. That's why there's the saying in economics, oftentimes you find the rich grow richer, the poor get poorer. So it's just the case. A person who has $100,000, his interest alone will be $9,000 a year, right? And those of us struggling can hardly get $9,000. This fellow just twiddled his fingers and he got $9,000 because he's already got. To him that has, more is given. But the fellow who's got $1,000,000 in the bank, he gets, even assuming an interest rate of 9%, he gets $90,000 a year for doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. To him that has, more given. And the poor guy who hasn't got it, what does he do? He lives on charges. Like me, charges. What? And the minute you get a bill come in, what's this? You see, since you haven't got the cash, you pull out the charges. No, actually, I don't use charges this much because I'm aware that to him that has not, even what he's got, he will lose. So you be careful. This charges is actually working on this dangerous principle because he ends up that when you can't pay back, you lose everything you got. You notice when you apply for a charges form, what they do? They ask you how much, have you got a house? How much is your house worth? How much longer mortgage do you have to pay? Have you got a car? How much is your car worth? You say, what are you asking these questions? I'm applying for a chargex card. Sure, that's why they're asking you the question, so that if you don't pay back their money, they will come and take your car, they'll take your house, they'll take everything you've got. That's why they don't mind lending you money, because they're going to collect all your possessions. So that to him that has not to pay back his debt, even what he's got, he will lose. Very easy to understand. What's so difficult about understanding scripture? Just think about it. It is true to life. That's what it is. So straightforward to understand. Now, when we understand these things in the world, I say to you again, can't you understand it in the spiritual life? God has given to you life, eternal life, his own life. And he says, now I want you to shine. He gave you the light of life. Now shine in the world. You don't use it. You put it under a bushel. You let the world get on top of you. And you're going to lose what you've got. He's going to say, I didn't give you a light to put under the bushel, did I? I didn't give you a light so you can put it under your bed. Since you are not going to use the light, since you neglect the light, I'm taking it away. Did you not read it in the very words, those very same words there in the Revelation? I will remove your candlestick from its place. He warns the church. I will take your light away. That's what it means. You don't shine for me, I'll take it away. I gave you the light of life so that you will shine. I'm sorry for those people who have been told that they were saved so that no matter what kind of a life they live, they're going to get to heaven. I am so sorry for them because God never said anything like it. He gave us the light to shine. Now here is the beauty of it. The more you shine, the brighter you get. That's what we find there in the parallel passage in Mark. Isn't it beautiful? The more you shine, the brighter you get. To him that has, to him who gives, will more be given. Verse 24 in Mark chapter 4. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get. And still more will be given to you. You see, this is the same principle which comes actually before verse 25. For him, to him who has. Verse 25 in Mark is explaining verse 24. That's why you have four to him who has. To warn us that it's a dynamic concept, which means this. The more you give, the more you get. If you don't give, you end up with nothing. Have you noticed the nature of light? The nature of light is to shine forth. It gives all the time. The light is going out all the time, radiating forth. You say, well, if I keep giving, I'm going to end up with nothing. Don't you worry. The principle of light is the more you give, the more you get. That's wonderful. It is true in the spiritual life in every sense. You can never give so that God is outrun by you. So wonderful. Whether it's in giving to the Lord of your money or of your time or of your energy, of your life, the measure with which you give will be the measure that you get. That as you use the new life that God has given to you, you use it to the maximum extent, even though it's so little, the light that you have. You use it to the maximum extent, and you will find it getting brighter. Now, every person here is a light. Just me. You are light. Every one of you. God has given to you the light of life. If you are a Christian, you are the light. Make sure it shines, brothers and sisters. Make sure it shines. Because the more you shine in your college, in your home, in your place of work, the brighter it gets. And don't let the darkness overcome it. Just let it shine. Overcome the darkness with the light. And the more you shine, the brighter you will get. We may be a very small light right now. But the more we live in a total commitment to Him, the brighter will the light shine. But bear in mind this, if you don't shine, if your light is darkness, then how great will that darkness be? So I hope that we take hold of these important spiritual principles. And we return, as I said at the beginning, and I mentioned that I have this vision of the church. God has given us the light as the gift of His own free grace. We have been given His own life as a gift of grace. He says, I've given it to you. Now see that you don't let anything cover it. See that you don't let the world get on top of it. But give out the light. Keep giving it out. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. So that to him that has will more be given. You will grow from strength to strength. Let me say in closing one thing. In the Christian life, nothing stands still. Nothing stands still. Because that is the principle of life. Life never stands still. It either advances or it decreases. It gets brighter or it gets dimmer. There is no such thing in the spiritual life standing still. That responsibility is upon you. And because you have that responsibility, so you need to depend more upon the grace of God to fulfill it. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.